We're going to get started. It's so good to see each one of you. I'm so glad to be with you. Tonight we're studying the book of Deuteronomy, giving an overview of the book. Deuteronomy is the last of the five books of law known as the Pentateuch and brings an end to the period of wandering in the wilderness as the people are about to enter the land of Canaan and begin the period of conquest. It also reveals the end of Moses' life as it discusses his death at the end of the book. The name Deuteronomy certainly is fitting. It means second law or the law repeated. It's not a second law in addition to the law given already at Mount Sinai, but rather it's a rehearsal or a restating or a repeating of the law already given at Mount Sinai. Who's the author of Deuteronomy? Moses is. Several passages would give that evidence, as well as the one we read about in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, referring to Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, pointing to Christ. The keynote is what? Obedience. Deuteronomy is a book of obedience. It was also a book of remembrance and a book of warnings, as we will see. The purpose to lead Israel to obedience, to warn against disobedience. Moses is preparing Israel to enter the promised land. The work of Moses is now finished. It's coming to an end. He had already received the command to ascend in Mount Abiram to view the land in the book of Numbers. Joshua's successor had been ordained, Numbers 27. And before he dies, he assembles the people, rehearses to them the dealings of God and their own conduct in the wilderness, repeats the law, and prepares them for their entrance into the land. The setting of the book is what? It's being delivered in the plains of Moab, Numbers 36, 13, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, and in verse 5. Several key themes recur in the book, and we'll begin with obedience. Did you find a verse for obedience? There's multiple of them. Give us one. Pete, you have one? Richard?
Deuteronomy 4:30 as well as 8:20.
Good. Obedience, often emphasized, as well as take heed to thyself. It's a book of warnings. Give us a verse for take heed. Jared? Take heed. Multiple reasons. Take heed lest thou forget. Take heed that your heart be not deceived. Take heed that you forsake not. Take heed that thou be not snared. Take heed that thou observe diligently. When you look at multiple verses, we need to do the same. Take heed lest we forget, lest we be deceived, lest we forsake God, lest we be snared, lest we do not observe diligently. Beware lest thou forget. Multiple verses like that. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Beware. It's a book of remembrance. Remember is often emphasized, like in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. To forget God is to forget and to fail to keep his commandments. Let's be sure we never do that. Blessings and curses. Blessing for obedience, curses for disobedience. Discussed throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Where's one of those places? Jason? 28, that's a good one. Chapter 28, book of remembrance. People are often reminded of history and events that have occurred and warned, do not forget. Put away the evil, theme that's often recurring. Give us a text, put away the evil. John? 19, verse 19. Evil is to be put away. Shows God's attitude towards evil. Be not afraid, be strong. Often emphasized, the people would, as they enter the land, occur battles. Like in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and see horses and chariots and a people more than thou. They would encounter people that would be more than them. So, often they're told, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When God is on our side, we're in the majority, but without God, we're in the minority. No need to be afraid when God is with you. Covenant, often emphasized. Several places. Like what, Dad?
4:13.
Covenant. The book is often quoted multiple times in the New Testament. Did you find one? Richard?
It's quoted by Jesus in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11.
Good, the Lord quoted Deuteronomy in Matthew 4. Quoted Deuteronomy 8, 3, Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, and Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. Any others?
Paul quoted Deuteronomy 30, 14, and Romans 10, 8.
Paul did. Romans 10 is a good example of that. Peter did, as we've seen in Acts chapter 3. So Deuteronomy often quoted in the New Testament. There are several important verses throughout the book of Deuteronomy, like Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, not to add to the law, not to diminish from it, repeated in chapter 12, verse 32. Where's that seen in the New Testament? Daryl? Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Do exactly what God says. Don't change it. Important verse, Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Good verse for us to memorize. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's the kind of heart God desires us to have. Do we have that kind of heart? Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You might write out beside that Matthew 22, 37, where the Lord referred to this as the first and great commandment. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. Key verse. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? And then, of course, Deuteronomy 18, 15, 18 to 19. The promise that a prophet would be raised among their brethren, referring to Christ. Within the book, there are three addresses given by Moses to Israel. First of all, chapter 1, verses 4 to 40. A historical review of God's dealings with Israel. Then the next, chapter 4, 44 to chapter 26, laws and exhortations are given, the Ten Commandments emphasized, and then special statutes to be observed in Canaan. Chapters 27 to 30, the third one, blessings of obedience, curses of disobedience. Then you have closing words and events, final charges, the Song of Moses, the blessing of Moses, and the death of Moses. We'll begin by looking briefly at the first one. Moses addresses the people. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 3. What was the purpose of this discourse? John?
Remember
God's covenant. Good. You might look at Deuteronomy 4 verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord. It was a historical review. Moses warns the people against the sins for which their fathers had failed to enter the promised land, to impress upon them the importance of obedience, that they might be ready to enter the promised land this time and not make the same mistakes their fathers did. And he summarizes and brings to attention the main events of the last 40 years in the wilderness. What are some of those main events? What's he bring to their attention? Jason? You have the victory over the two kings, victory over Sihon, victory over Og. The events in Exodus 18 are referred in chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. He's not able to bear the people himself alone. So men who were wise and known made captains. Then emphasis is placed upon the rebellion as dealt with in Numbers 13 and 14. When spies were sent, evil report was brought back, the people were discouraged and they rebelled against God. All right?
Might be new information, some of these people.
Now, if they happen to be 19 years old at the time, they might remember a few things. But if they were 20, they didn't live through except to me. So all of these could have been, they could have been much younger, some of them. And these might be, this review would be very important. Some of them might not even know anything about this.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Thank you, Grandpa. Thus, the need for the repetition of the law, because a new generation had come up who had not heard it. And no doubt if there were some present, those who were from the last generation, they needed to hear it again. Good. Do you have the events of Baal Peor? That goes back to Numbers 25. And when God spoke out of Mount Sinai, those events are discussed from Exodus 19 and 20. And summary and purpose, you can see in chapter 4 and verse 32, ask now of the days that are past which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, ask from one side of heaven to the other, hath there been any such thing as great as this, or hath been heard like it? Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire? Hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? And verse 35, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside thee. And powerful point in Deuteronomy, that there's no God like Jehovah. The Lord, he is God, there's none else beside him. And verse 39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Therefore thou shalt keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it might go well with thee. Then he discusses cities of refuge, three cities that Moses severs, beginning of verse 41. What promise has God fulfilled? He made with Abraham. Go ahead, Dan. God keeps his promises. We see that often. One of which was the promise to make of them a great nation. Who would see the good land of promise? Caleb and Joshua, right? And the little ones who in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. We learn in chapter 4, 6 through 8, what wisdom and understanding is. What is it? The statutes and judgments of the Lord, keep therefore and do them, verse 6. This is your wisdom and your understanding. That's what we need to be doing. Keeping and doing the statutes and commandments of God. That's what makes a nation great. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Chapter 4, verse 9. Take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently. Another warning. Lest thou forget. We learned that in order to prevent forgetting, we need to take heed to ourselves, keep our soul diligently, and teach. Teaching is often emphasized in the book. Idolatry is often condemned. The punishments are depicted for that. And we learn a lot about God. We learned a lot about that on Sunday. Next address, beginning in Deuteronomy 5, verse 1 through chapter 26, Moses rehearses the laws which had been given in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And laws and exhortations are given for the people to enter the land and following their entrance. What's the first thing that he says? You'll see this often repeated. Hear, O Israel, what do they need to hear? Statutes and judgments, which I speak in your ears this day. Richard? Keep and do them. Learn them, keep them, do them. That's what we need to do. Hear the statutes and judgments of the Lord. Learn them, keep them, and do them. And you see in verse 2 that summarizes this. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. It's important for us to know that Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai, which is often repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. What's restated in chapter 5? As we've mentioned, the Ten Commandments. You might write above Deuteronomy chapter 5, Exodus 20, where you have the Ten Commandments once again mentioned. There are a lot of points and lessons we can learn through all of these chapters this time that Moses is speaking. What are some of those? Let's briefly highlight some, like in chapter 6. Give us one. Jason? Good. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, soul, mind. Matthew 22:37. We need to do that today, don't we? What else? Teaching is often emphasized, as here. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Verse 6, the word shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. All the time. Shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You see in verse 12, beware lest thou forget. And again in verse 6, these words shall be in thine heart. If we don't teach diligently, teach our children, children's children, the words aren't going to be in our heart, and we're going to forget the Lord. Teaching is essential. We need to be teaching. They're told to fear God. Idolatry often condemned. Don't go after other gods. God is a jealous God. That would provoke his anger. Do not tempt the Lord. Verse 17, diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. Do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord. Often repeated. Highlight verse 20, these words. When thy son asketh thee, in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Thou shalt say, when thy son asketh thee, are our children exposed to the commandments of the Lord? And will that cause them to ask us, what do these things mean? And will we be ready to give answer as to what those things mean to our children? Teach our children diligently. That's part of it. Well, they ask, why do we assemble with the saints? Why do we worship? Why do we read the Bible daily? Why do we pray? Why do we do these things? If you're not doing those things, they may never ask. Or they might see someone else doing them and say, why don't we do these things? Interesting. When thy son asketh thee, be ready for when our children ask us. Let's set the right example for them by keeping God's commandments and be ready to answer. Anything else from chapter 6? Chapter 7, instructions are given for when God brings the people into the land. They were to utterly destroy. Verse 2, make no covenant with them, nor show mercy. Not marriages with them. Why? Verse 4, they will turn away thy son from following me. That's a principle we can apply to ourselves today that we need to call attention to. We don't need to marry a person who is going to turn us away from the Lord. That's a great danger of marrying a non-Christian. They will turn away thy son from following me. Great influence. And that's undeniable. If you don't think so, you're deceiving yourself. We learn that God's people have always been among the few, verse 7. For you are the fewest of people. How many will enter? Matthew 7, verse 14. Few. Few, always been among the people, the few. There's no people like the Lord's people. Thou art an holy people, he says in verse 6, unto the Lord thy God. He has chosen thee to be a special people to himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 8, because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he swore unto his fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Learn about God that he is faithful. Keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. There's always been two categories of people, those who love God, those who hate him, those who keep his commandments, those who don't keep his commandments. What category are we in? Will we receive God's mercy or will we be repaid by him? Verse 11, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and statutes and judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Blessings are given for obedience. Thou shalt not be affrighted. Again, do not be afraid. The Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Verse 21. Verse 26. They were not to bring an abomination into their house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it. Thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. What's our attitude towards an abomination? We are to abhor that which is evil. Romans 12, verse 9. When we do that, we'll never allow such evil to come into our house. We won't accept it, allow it, tolerate it, welcome it, let alone practice it. Do we abhor that which is evil? Chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's what the Lord quoted in Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 4, God provided for his people. What do we learn in verse 5? The Lord thy God chasteneth thee. God chastens us. You can read more about that in Hebrews chapter 12, 5 to 13. That takes place through the word of God, as all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, as teaching, reproof, for correction, for instruction. We best not despise the chastening of the Lord. That's for our benefit. Chapter 8. Anything you want to add? There's our warning again. Beware. And it's often emphasized that prosperity is often causing people to forget God. He says this here in other places, that when, verse 7, God brings thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, and fountains and depths, a land of wheat and barley, and thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Verse 9, thou shalt not lack anything in it. And verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, they've prospered, they're satisfied, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Prosperity often brings about the temptation to forget God. We see that in our country today, do we not? Perhaps when poverty and adversity occurs, people are more apt to seek God. But during prosperity, they're more apt to forget him. But we must not do that, as they were told not to do. Verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. When we prosper, let us be sure and remember that and bless God, not forget him. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, serve them, ye shall surely perish. Verse 19, so shall ye perish, verse 20, because ye would not be obedient. And that's what's going to happen to the nation today, that as they forget God, perishing is inevitable. Chapter 9, what do you learn? They're made to understand in the first few verses that they're not being brought into the land. The nations are not being destroyed because of their own righteousness, right? But because of the wickedness of the nations. And it goes on to remind them that they are a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not, verse 7, how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. You've been rebellious against the Lord ever since they came to this place out of the land of Egypt. Reminds them of times they were rebellious, provoked the Lord, like when they made the golden calf. And verse 24 says, you've been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Learn from that that we do not need to be rebellious. That provokes the Lord to anger. All right? Chapter 10, you have more history brought to their attention of Israel. Aaron's death is brought up in verse 6. The tribe of Levi being separated in verse 8. Verses 12 and 13, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? You highlighted this passage in your Bible? If we're concerned about God, then we'll be concerned about it, what he requires of us and meeting those requirements. What does he require? Fear him, walk in all his ways, love him, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commend this day for thy good, often emphasized that his commandments are for our good, that it may be well with you. Be obedient to him. Verse 16, be no more stiff-necked. Learn once again that God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, mighty and terrible. Verse 17, they're told, love the strangers, fear the Lord, serve him, cleave to him, swear by his name. Again, the promise fulfilled, verse 22, when to Egypt 70 persons came, are now multiplied as stars of heaven for multitude. Verse 11, once again, or chapter 11 rather, once again, begins, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes, his judgments and his commandments always. Often emphasized that the obedience required is one that comes from love for God, not because you have to do it. What do you learn from chapter 11? You do. More blessings and cursings. Verse 26, good verse to remember when you think of Deuteronomy. They reminded again of great acts of the Lord, verse 3, his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, what he did to the army of Egypt, verse 4, all that he's done unto you in the wilderness, verse 5. Number 16 is recalled, the rebellion, when the earth opened her mouth, swallowed them up, verse 6. Verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore, shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong. Strength comes when we keep all the commandments of the Lord. Blessings and cursings again revealed, and teaching emphasized. Verse 18, lay up these my words in your heart and your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, walk by the way, liest down, and when thou risest up. Are we doing that? Teaching, so important. What about chapter 12? What do you learn? What stands out to you?
There'd be a place the Lord would choose to cause his name to dwell. Verse 11. The place isn't revealed yet, it will be later.
Very good.
It'll be a significant place.
A place which the Lord your God shall choose. Significant place. Given more instructions for when they enter the land, utterly destroy, overthrow, verses 2 and 3. They were given instructions for offerings and sacrifices. There were some things they weren't to eat. They were not to eat blood. Three times the warning, take heed, is found again. And as Dad mentioned, it's often emphasized. The place God would choose, like in verse 5, verse 11, verse 14, verse 18, verse 26. Like verse 13, they were not to offer burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but the place which the Lord shall choose. That emphasizes the point that's made in verse 8. We're not to do every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes, but verse 28, do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Chapter 13, we have a prophet or dreamer of dreams. And he was coming to turn you away from the Lord your God. Verse 5, what was to be done with him? Destroyed, shall be put to death. Verse 5. That was to put the evil away from the midst of thee. Then you have the brother, the son, the daughter, wife, friend, as thine own soul, who entices thee secretly. Let us go and serve other gods. Verse 8, what were they not to do? Don't consent unto him. Don't hearken to him. Don't pity him. Don't spare. Don't conceal him. But thou shalt surely do what? Verse 9. Kill him. They'd stone him with stones that he die. Verse 10. Shows God's attitude towards those who seek to turn his people away from God. Do we need to be around people trying to turn us away from God? Surely this emphasizes no. Then you have a city where abomination was wrought therein, and if that be true, they were to smite it, destroy it utterly, burn it with fire, spoil it, was not to be built again. God's attitude towards abomination. Chapter 14, they weren't to cut themselves. Verse 1, they were to be holy people. Verse 2, then you have clean and unclean animals, things they could and could not eat. Familiar to us from the book of Leviticus. Laws concerning tithes, beginning in verse 22. Verse 23, again, thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Verse 23. All right, verse 27 and 29, throughout the book, instructions are given for the Levites and concerning the Levites, not to forsake him. Chapter 15, what stands out? First of all, you have a certain year. What year is that?
The year of release.
Good, Richard, the year of release, the seventh year. What else you learn? In an open hand, they were to take care of the poor. Beginning of verse 7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates in the land, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year releases at hand, that I be evil against thy poor brother. And thou givest him not. And he cried to the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Verse 11, thou shalt open thine hand wide to thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy in thy land. Things that we need to apply to our lives today, don't we? Have an open hand for our poor brother. It talks about the servant, beginning in verse 12, instructions for servants. And verse 21, we learn that God requires the best. If there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. God deserves the best. Chapter 16, they were to keep Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 16, how many times in a year would the males appear before the Lord? Three times in the place which he shall choose. God chose the place. You have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. What were they not to do? They shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord. We have God's will concerning worship. God chose the time, the place, told them what to do, what not to do. God's word directs our worship. It's not up to us as to however we see fit to worship him. It's not about us or to please ourselves, but what pleases God. And that's what he has revealed specifically. Chapter 17, God requires the best, verse 1. Talks about one who transgressed the covenant of God. What was to be done with him? Put to death, right? So shalt thou put the evil away from you. Verse 7. You have the man that will do presumptuously. 12 and 13. Once again, even that man shall die. All the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. You think anybody did any more presumptuously when the one who did that was put to death? I think not. Shows the importance of discipline. Chapter 17, verse 14, beginning, you have the time when the people desire to have a king over them, and you have instructions given for the king, one of which, verse 18, he was to make a copy of the law and was to read therein all the days of his life, verse 19, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. So important to read. Reading is emphasized throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And we must do that. Otherwise, we won't learn to fear God. We won't keep all the words of the law. Our heart will be lifted up. Will be turned aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. Are we reading? Then chapter 18. Instructions to the Levites, verses 1 to 8. They weren't to do after other nations, 9 to 14. Of course, verse 18 beginning, the Lord will raise up a prophet, and that's applied to Christ, as we've seen, Acts 3 and Acts 7, verse 37. Chapter 19, cities of refuge discussed, verses 1 to 10. You have murder discussed, verses 11 to 13. They weren't to move a neighbor's landmark, verse 14. And then you have witnesses, instructions for witnesses and for a false witness, beginning of verse 15 to 21. Verse 20. Begins again, be not afraid, or chapter 20 rather, begins, be not afraid. And it gives laws for battle. There were certain who wouldn't battle. Who were those? Verse 5, man's built a new house, right? Verse 6, planted a vineyard. 7, one who is betrothed to a wife and hath not taken her, let him go and return to his house. Verse 8, the man that's fearful and faint-hearted, let him go. Otherwise, his brethren will be faint as well. They were to make captains over the people. Then there were instructions given for cities very far off, verses 10 to 15. And then specific instructions for those nations or cities listed in verse 17. They were to be utterly destroyed. Why? That they teach you not to do after their abominations, which they have done unto their God, so you should sin against the Lord. Chapter 21. The law of innocency, right? The law for a man who was found slain, one who was killed, but you don't know who killed him. You don't know who the slayer is. Certain things they were to do. Have laws for marrying female captives, law for a man who has two wives, loves one and hates the other. What about the stubborn and rebellious son, verses 18 to 21? Stoning with stones. How do you think God feels about a stubborn and rebellious son? The old law emphasized honor and obedience to parents, and the new law requires that today all the same. A body hanging on a tree, 22 to 23, wasn't to be on there all night, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. And I couple that with John 19, 31 to 34 for future reference. Chapter 22, what if your brother lost something? What do you need to do? Restore it to him again, right? If you found something he's lost, restore it to him again. If his ass or his ox fell down by the way, help him to lift him up again. Then there are laws given, restrictions given about clothing. Verse 5, woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Man shall not put on a woman's garment. That's abomination. And verses 11 and 12, not wear a garment of divers sorts. Verse 12, make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture. If God didn't care about outward appearance or apparel, why are the instructions here given? Then you have laws of marriage and sexual immorality. Chapter 23, summed up in verse 14, the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Camp was to be holy. There were those who could not enter the congregation of the Lord, depicted in the first few verses, laws of usury given and laws concerning vows. Chapter 24, verses 1 to 4, deal with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That's what's discussed in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. The Lord said the reason that Moses suffered or allowed them to give bill of divorcement because of the hardness of their hearts. At the beginning, it was not so. Only one reason for divorce today, except to be for fornication. Put the evil away, verse 7. Laws concerning pledges. Plague of leprosy is dealt with, verses 8 and 9. Miriam is reminded. And don't oppress the poor, verses 14 to 15. Verse 16, what do you learn? That every man is he responsible for other sins? Responsible for his own sin. And remember the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. Laws concerning judges, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 25, they were to justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. You have the Levirate law, verses 5 through 10. What was that about? Raise up seed to your brother. 25, 5 to 10. Don't do unrighteously, verse 16. The one who does that is abomination to God. Amalek discussed, verses 17 to 19. 26, more instructions for when they enter the land. They were to bring the first fruits and worship God, verse 10. And this address is concluded, verses 16 to 19. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Keep them, do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee. You learn anything from that? I thought about that when we make the decision to obey the gospel and become a Christian, we are avouching, that is, we're proclaiming, we're declaring, we're affirming, we're promising that the Lord's going to be our God, that we're going to walk in his ways, we're going to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. That's what we're doing. And at the same time, the Lord has made us his peculiar people, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. That's a serious decision. Brings a lot of responsibility. And we need to be prepared to live up to that decision when we make it. And then chapters 27 to 30, the third address, dealing with blessings of obedience, curses for disobedience. When they passed over Jordan, there were certain instructions, verses 1 to 10, and they were given the charge. Certain Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin were to stand upon Mount Gerizim and bless the people. And then Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali would be on Mount Ebal to curse. The curses are listed, what they would say, verses 14 through 26. Chapter 28, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of God to observe all his commandments, these blessings would come. You can read about those. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed of the fruit. A lot of blessings. Then it gives the curses. More curses than blessings. Several are listed. Things that you don't want to experience. Cursing, vexation, rebuke, destruction, perishing, pestilence, the botch of Egypt. And eventually it ends in the Lord bringing them back into Egypt to be bondmen and bondwomen once again. The purpose, verse 58, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That's why the negative, if you will, the warnings are so important. Without it, people will not fear the Lord. And that's happening today. Anything else? God makes a covenant with Israel in chapter 29. You have the individual who, in spite of hearing these curses, blesses himself, right? But God will not spare him. We don't need to be hearing the punishment of sin, death, hell, separation from God, and bless ourselves saying this isn't going to happen. Everything is fine. It's not fine. When you are disobeying God, it's a major problem, and consequences will come if you don't repent. You see, God's mercy oftentimes is if they disobeyed, they forsook God, and these curses came upon them. If they turned to the Lord, sought him with all their heart, all their soul, were obedient to him, then and only then, upon meeting those conditions, would God be merciful to them and bless them once again. Moses concludes the section with God's choice. Choose life. Choice between blessing, good, cursing, evil, life and death. What choice are we making? Then the closing words and events. Moses is how old? 120 years old. And he gives certain charges for the conquering of the land, the law. Moses and Joshua receive charges of God. And then the Levites. It was foretold the people would do what? It was. That was the purpose of the Song of Moses, to be a witness for them, for the children of Israel, when that time came. Moses said the same in verse 27, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, why I'm yet alive with you this day, you've been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death?" And we know and we'll see in the future that comes to pass. Then you have the Song of Moses, the witness for them. And you see, first of all, in the song, praise for God, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Verse 3, publish the name of the Lord. He's the rock. His work is perfect. Talks about Israel, how they corrupted themselves, and the vengeance that God takes place upon them. Vengeance is God's. Prophesies the time when the Gentiles would rejoice with his people, and all should join to celebrate his marvelous works and judgments in the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb, Revelation 15, and in verse 3. Then you have Moses blesses the people and his death. He views the land just as God instructed him, and there Moses dies. Where is it? In the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, just as God said it would happen. The Lord buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. He was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the book concludes with Joshua taking over. Full of the spirit of wisdom, Moses laid his hands upon him. And this statement, there was not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, to all his land, and all that mighty hand, and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So many great lessons to learn from Moses. He was a type of Christ, as both were a prophet, a lawgiver, saved as a babe, commissioned by God, came working miracles, came bringing deliverance, rejected by many, played the part of a mediator between God and man. The journey of the Israel through the wilderness is a type of the Christian sojourn through this world of sin and wilderness of sorrow. And as many of them came up short, we can come up short today. Just read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Anything else on the book of Deuteronomy? So many great lessons to learn from it. It's a short time to get through it. Thanks for your patience, your kind attention. Hope it was of some benefit to you. Material on the rack for Sunday, please pick that up and be ready for that. Thank you for being here.